fuck it all, I have a buck on my wall sitting pretty. I'm gonna grow me a beard and lease me some land, start spreading corn and build me a stand. I plan my vacation and a long weekend. I'm going to South Texas cause you know I can, yeah, I'm ready.
All right, all right. Good morning, Texas. Cable Smith welcoming y'all to another edition of the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show, powered by Hoff Power Polaris. That is Kyle Hunt's deer hunting song. And with today being opening morning for gun season, I can't think of a more appropriate tune to get us going. This is my favorite day of the year, y'all, because in addition to deer, it's also the opener for ducks, geese, fall turkey. And, of course, quail opened up last week, so, man, there isn't a better time to be a Texas outdoorsman. So much to do and only 3 months to do it. Kind of like this morning, we've got a ton to get into and only an hour to do it all, so let's get going here. Off the top, we're going to visit with GoDaddy founder and CEO Bob Parsons. Bob is not only the wealthiest man we've ever had on the show with a net worth of $1.5 billion, but he is also an avid big game hunter. And even caught some hell from the PETA Yahoos last year. So we'll get into all that good stuff with Bob here momentarily. Then I'm pleased to have Charles Hodges join the show. A lifelong quail hunter, Charles had the passion to do something about our state's rapidly declining bobwhite population. So Charles was proactive. He got Texas Tech involved and helped found the Tech Quail Alliance. Great organization dedicated to quail research and restoration here in the Lone Star State. And Charles will tell us all about that, as well as a management strategy that Texas quail hunters should adopt for the 2011-2012 season. We'll then round out the broadcast when Keith McDonald joins the show. Keith is the co-chairman of the Dallas DU chapter, and their banquet is coming up on November 16th. This is the big one, y'all. Over 500 folks will be in attendance. There are still a few tickets left and tons of great raffle and live silent auction items, including a duck hunt with Texas Rangers first baseman Mitch Moreland. So Keith will join us to tell us all about it. And by the way, we're going to go ahead and give away a couple tickets to this event when Keith joins us. So stay tuned to find out how you can win that $200 couples ticket for the Wednesday, November 16th banquet at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Addison. So anyway, we've got big game quail and ducks on the docket this morning. Should be a good one. Couple other things we need to mention today. Don't forget that the Louisville Gun Show is going on this weekend. It's part of the original Fort Worth Gun Show. And no matter where you live, they'll be coming to your part of the state sometime soon. For the full schedule of upcoming gun shows, just visit fwgunshow.com. But don't forget that the Louisville Show is today and tomorrow. Also, a reminder to go to my website to vote for your favorite listener photo from October. Lots of good ones this month. And the winner gets the custom fly rod and reel from Temple Fork Outfitters. Just go to LoneStarOutdoorsShow.com to vote for your favorite. And also don't forget to send in those November photos because we have another great prize this month. How about a handmade acrylic duck and goose call from our good buddy Charles Smith over at Cadence Duck Calls? Heck of a prize. Cadence is the only thing you'll find on my lanyard. And once again, all you have to do is email me your best outdoor photos to CableWaco@yahoo.com for your chance to win. Last thing I want to do is remind everyone that our shows are all saved on iTunes and they're free. So if you miss a week because you were at the lease or whatever, our shows are available on iTunes. Just download them and take them with you next time you head out to the lease. Well, let's work in a quick break here. When we come back, we'll get into some big game talk with GoDaddy.com founder and CEO Bob Parsons. You're listening to the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Coyote said to the lizard on the rock, why you laying in the shade? You gotta belt your feet before the sun goes and fades away. The lizard on the rock said to the coyote, doesn't matter anyway. Seen the sky today, and things around here are gonna change.
Howdy, folks. I'm Lee Hoffpower for Hoffpower Polaris in Goldthwait, Texas. Now, that's a big part of Hoffpower's Outdoor Superstore in Goldthwait. If you're not familiar with us, that's why we're here. We're going to fix that right now. Hoffpower Polaris is proud to be the new presenting sponsor for the Lone Star Outdoor Show. Hoffpower Polaris is the largest Polaris dealer in Texas, and there's a good reason for it. We sell more fun, work, and hunting buggies than anybody else. We have the best overall selection of Polaris products in all of Texas. Everything from a little Polaris 90 for one of the kiddos to ride around up to a loaded up Polaris crew cab. If Polaris makes it, we've got it, and we've got more than anybody else in the countryside, and we're going to sell it to you cheaper than anybody else will as well. You can check us out on the web at hpolaris.com, or you can just click on the link here on the Lone Star Outdoor Show webpage, and it'll take you right to us. By all means, pick up the phone and call us today too, 1-888-428-7583, and in case you didn't know it, Hoffpower's has been in Central Texas for almost 47 years now, and folks, we couldn't have stuck around this long. We were steering you wrong.
Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show is brought to you by OTM Insurance Specialist. We work with dozens of insurance companies to find you the best coverage for the best rate. Whether it's automobile, SUV, watercraft, primary or vacation home, farm and ranch, firearms, business, or life and health insurance, OTM Insurance Specialists have you covered. And as lifelong hunters and anglers, we know how important it is to protect our outdoor-related investments. So let us insure what you, your family, and business value most. Call 830-755-2474 or visit us online at otminsurance.com. Give us a shot.
If you've been shopping all day today, Saturday, and you just haven't found the right price on the right Toyota, I have great news. I'm Vic Vaughn, owner of Toyota Bernie, and we'll be open late tonight, Saturday, for our big-time Toyota sale. Every new Toyota in stock, Camrys, Corollas, Tundras, even the new 2012 Camry, in stock for immediate delivery at Toyota of Bernie. Log on to toyotaburney.com for all the details, I-10, exit 543, or call us, 870-1800, Toyota of Bernie.
Rockport Marine is the Gulf Coast's premier boat dealership, offering the finest lineup of saltwater fishing boats anywhere. Transport, Sundance Kits, Yellowfin Yachts, and Andros Boatworks. Yep, you'll find them all at Rockport Marine. And Evinrude and Yamaha Authorized Service Center. They also do power pole, trolling motor, and electronic sales and installations. Located in Rockport's beautiful Cove Harbor, stop by or visit rockportmarine.net today. Also specializing in Evinrude outboard sales, Rockport Marine, your one-stop boating center in Rockport, Texas.
Hey folks, this is Zane Williams. Thank you for listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
For spinning wheels to silver wings, a thousand miles between these two dreams. Life ain't as simple as it once seemed. Loving both you and these six steel.
Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show's own Zane Williams bringing us back here. I'm Cable Smith. Thanks for tuning in on this fine Texas morning. Special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Hoffpower Polaris, for all that they do for us. This segment of the show, however, proudly brought to you by Blue Creek Whitetails, South Texas' premier whitetail ranch located in Wharton County along the beautiful Colorado River. Visit BlueCreekWhitetails.com to book your trophy hunt today. Well, without further ado, let's go ahead and welcome our first guest today. Without a doubt, one of the smartest businessmen in the world. It's my pleasure to introduce GoDaddy.com founder and CEO Bob Parsons to the show.
Yeah, great to be here, Cable. I'll tell you what, I've heard about your show and listening in. I like what I heard, and boy, it's a real treat for me to be here.
Well, I sure appreciate that, Bob. I know that you are always seemingly on the go somewhere. Where are you right now?
Well, actually, right now, I'm in my office in Scottsdale, Arizona, and I just got back, spent a little time in California. I like to play golf, you know, so I was playing in a tournament there, but always good to be home.
Right on. Well, Bob, our website, LoneStarOutdoorsShow.com, is hosted and maintained by none other than GoDaddy. So before we talk hunting here, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you built this empire from the ground up?
Well, I started GoDaddy.com from scratch, and I used money that I made from selling my first business. I started that business in my basement in 1984. It was called Parsons Technology. It was a little software startup. I did that for 10 years, grew it to be a 1,000-employee business with $100 million in sales, sold that to Intuit in 94 for $64 million. Mm. And then I used that business to start GoDaddy.com, or what was to become GoDaddy.com, in 97. GoDaddy, we did a lot of things when we first started. I lost a lot of money. I came close to going broke, brother. And what happened was we started building websites and then decided to write software so people could do their own website. And when we did that, we became aware that every website needed a domain name, and the companies that sold domain names back then were a train wreck. So we decided to get into that business so that we could provide our customers with domain names quickly and inexpensively and with good service. And also, since our prices were going to be so much better than everybody else's, we would have people come to us to buy our domain names, and we'd sell them our software. Decision was right as rain. This year, we're going to do $1.1 billion in sales.
Wow, that is absolutely amazing. Shifting gears here, though, you're a big-time, big-game hunter, but it had to start somewhere. So who's responsible for really lighting that fire in you?
Well, you know, I would say if there was any organization that got me interested in the outdoors, it had to be the Marine Corps back in 1968. And I was a combat rifleman with the 26 Marines in Vietnam. And, well, you know, that's a whole different type of thing. You know, I spent in the United States and training and all that. I spent a lot of time outdoors, talked to a lot of guys who told me about their hunting experiences and what they did and where they lived. I learned how to use a rifle. And Marine Corps does anything for you. They'll teach you how to use a rifle.
Right.
And so when I got back, I got more interested and more interested, and whenever I had a chance to be outdoors or do a little bit of hunting or shooting, I did. And it kind of, after I started working for myself, because you don't have a lot of time to do anything but work for yourself,
mm-hmm.
You know, that got put on a shelf for a while, and about, I guess, maybe about 10 years or so, I started hunting again. I started with little deer hunting, and then I went up to Anwar up in Alaska and took a grizzly. I've been elk hunting, pronghorn hunting, and then I started going to Africa 7 years ago. I've been there six times and hunting big game there, which is, I tell you, that's an experience all in itself.
Mm-hmm.
So I've hunted in Africa, hunted in New Zealand, all over North America. And I tell you, I just love doing it.
You and me both, brother. And the African safari is something that's definitely on my bucket list. Haven't done it yet, but hope to someday. And that's actually how I found out that you were a big outdoorsman. You harvested an elephant in Africa last year, and the liberal media and PETA, those yahoos, they took it and ran with it, started slandering you in the press, making a big deal out of nothing. And I wanted to have you on the show and tell you that we support you, and we appreciate someone of your prominence and stature being so proud of your love for hunting in the outdoors.
Oh, I am proud. And, you know, PETA completely distorted the situation. And basically, just to summarize what happened is, you know, I wasn't even doing any trophy hunting. I was doing problem animal control as a volunteer in Zimbabwe. And I shot an elephant that was tearing up the fields there. There's 100,000 elephants in Zimbabwe. The herd's growing by 5% a year, above and beyond what's being harvested as a part of their normal hunting programs. So there's just too many. Now, the people there are subsistence farmers. They don't get their crop cable. They starve to death. They don't get food stamps or the government helps them out. They starve. So it's important that they get their harvest. They're very poor. So I go there and help them run the elephants out of their fields. And I do that mostly at night. You know, it's got a little edge to it, I got to tell you. And so when I shoot an elephant in the fields, what happens is the rest storm out. They don't come back. The crops are saved. And the people butcher the elephant, usually feeds about three villages. Now, you tell me what's wrong with that.
Oh, yeah, it's exactly right. You know how PETA will get their hands on something. And it's not just PETA. There's tons of anti-hunting organizations out there that will do the same thing. So which organizations are you really involved with? Are you a member of the NRA or maybe SCI or anything along those lines?
I am a avid member of the NRA. I believe in that organization totally. I'm a member of the Safari Club.
Uh-huh.
I'm a member of the Boone and Crockett Club.
Uh-huh.
And that's pretty much it.
Right. And Everybody needs to be a member of the NRA. They do more to support our gun rights than any group out there. Also, if you're really passionate about hunting and fishing, which most of our listeners are, we all need to be a member of at least one conservation organization, bare minimum.
Well, no doubt. You know, you need to, because these organizations, particularly the NRA, I mean, I cannot say enough about that organization as an organization that stands up for our collective rights as Americans, right? And our rights to continue to be Americans, to legally own firearms, to actually hunt, and to combat all this left-wing and viro-wacko stuff that you hear from organizations like PETA and the National Humane Society, which is another knucklehead organization. And, you know, and I'll say that, you know, right with, I'm a member of the Arizona Humane Society. You know, I help them raise a couple $100,000 every year. Love the organization. But they are about really putting their money where their mouth is and helping the local animal population. You know, other than being a publicity machine, I've yet to find what PETA does. I'll tell you what, they had all this rhetoric and stuff connected with my hunting in Zimbabwe, you know, saying I should put up electric fences, you know, I should try to approach an elephant with a beehive or chili pepper. You know, I can tell you how you spot somebody that does that. They'll have a tusk in their ass. Yeah, so anyhow, I was supposed to do all, you know, should do all that. Well, I can tell you, when I go back over to Zimbabwe this year, next year, there won't be 10 cents spent by PETA there to make any difference.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's
and I'll be there. I'll be going like I always do by myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right on. Right
yeah.
on.
Now, you know, one thing I want to point out just for your listeners, Cable, is there was an organization that took it upon themselves to write an academic paper about my run-in with PETA. And it's you've heard of Stanford University, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
And they have an organization within them called the Hoover Institution, which is all about ideas defining a free society. So in their Hoover Institution journal, and all you have to do is Google this, shoot an elephant, save a community. Shoot an elephant, save a community. And that argument will come up, and it'll show you exactly, you know, what's happening. They said, in contrast, hunting organizations such as Safari Club International or environmental groups such as Environmental Defense Fund, whose motto is finding the ways that work, get a real bang for their buck. PETA's rhetoric may take the moral high ground, but Parsons hunting is putting more elephants on earth.
Truer words have never been spoken, my friend. It just blows my mind how the liberal left, tree-hugging PETA freaks, they just put themselves up on this pedestal and make a big commotion, but they don't contribute anything to conservation. And then for PETA to blast you for going over there and putting money into that economy and stimulating it and protecting these villagers' only means of income, their crops, I mean, it's pretty obvious who is really the humanitarian here.
You got it.
Anyway, it's just frustrating. But moving along here, you've traveled the globe, Bob. You've hunted big game animals all over the world. Is there anything that you haven't done yet that's on that bucket list that you'd like to do?
I haven't taken a hippo. I haven't taken a croc. And I haven't taken two others, a bongo and a giant eland.
Hmm.
Oh. And that's about it. And if I do that, but, you know, I don't know that I'm ever going to get around to doing that because I started this problem animal stuff with problem elephants during the harvest in Zimbabwe. And I can tell you it makes such a difference to those people in those areas. And it actually saves lives and actually helps the elephant population. So because it does so much, I have a hard time not spending all my time doing that.
Well, on a smaller scale, I mean, we're not saving lives, but we do have a similar problem here in areas of Texas. Take the hill country, for example. The whitetail population is out of control. There's too many deer. And hunters, by harvesting an animal, you're increasing the overall health of that herd. The amazing thing is the antis would just assume, hey, let them all get sick, you know, just have an unhealthy deer population.
Well, you know, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to go help improve the herd up in Michigan.
Right on. They've got some monsters up there in Michigan, I tell you what. Well, Bob, it's been a real treat visiting with you today. Real quick, go ahead and tell our listeners where they can find you online. I know you've got a really introspective and interesting blog that a lot of them would enjoy.
All right. Well, you know, there's a couple ways. First of all, is you can follow my blog. My blog at bobparsons.me. It's free. It's we produce the video about once a month, and it's basically a humorous look on what I know about how to run a business. The other way to follow what I'm up to is on Twitter, and I'm at Dr. Bob Parsons. So those are two ways. The other thing I want to say is I want to thank you for your show. I mean, we need guys like you. Man, I'll tell you what, on every channel. So you keep on, keep doing the good work, and love your show.
Well, I sure appreciate the kind words, and good luck up there in Michigan.
All right, thanks, Cable. Bye now.
Man, what an interesting guy. GoDaddy, founder and CEO, Bob Parsons. Great stuff there. Well, we do have to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about our state's ever-declining bobwhite quail population. But there are groups out there, like the Quail Tech Alliance, that are trying to make a difference by being proactive. Charles Hodges helped found this organization. He's going to join us next, only on the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoors Show.
She walks these hills in a long black veil. She visits my grave when the night winds wail.
TooCoolFishing.com is the place to check out Texas Gulf Coast fishing reports. Join Texas' largest fishing and hunting community, where members share photos, discuss tackle, boating, and more. The Too Cool Blue Water Forum has the latest in offshore action, and our Totally Texas Hunting Forum has informative hunting discussions and reports. Search our directory and classifieds for a local guide, hunting lease, or boat for sale. Join over 40,000 members and learn from the biggest outdoor community in Texas. Visit TooCoolFishing.com today. That's the number 2, CoolFishing.com. Southern Deer Stands manufactures the only high-quality, lightweight, aluminum-insulated hunting blinds on the market, providing years of use without any maintenance. That's right, no more rotting, rusting, or repairing, just hunting. Southern Deer Stands product lineup includes tower blinds with staircases, trailer blinds, and ground blinds on skids. We also have deer blind windows, doors, tower stands, and more. Whether you need one or 20 blinds, we'll deliver and set up right on your ranch or lease. Call Rob at 214-551-1530 or visit us at www.southerndeerstands.com.
Prusky's Meat Market and Wild Game Processing is South Texas' premier wild game processor. USDA inspected and approved. They offer choice and certified Angus beef steaks, custom cut however you want. Prusky's also has fresh MSG and nitrate-free sausage, custom smoked hams, ham bacon, and bacon. Visit www.pruskysmarket.com or call 210-649-2151. Prusky's, from our smokehouse to your house. Quality you remember with the service you deserve.
Tell my brother and sister I miss them most. I bless them each day with the Son and Holy Ghost. I thank you, Lord, for letting me be set free. I may run with the devil. I may run with the devil. I may run with the devil, but he's never catching up to me.
All right, a little Bart Crow Band bringing us back from break here this morning on the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show, powered by Hoff Power Polaris. I'm Cable Smith, and loved or hated, but never ignored, we do it every weekend. Sure appreciate you tuning in, by the way, and don't forget that our Lone Star Outdoor Show t-shirts are now available on the website at LoneStarOutdoorsShow.com. Man, I'm going to have to send old Bob Parsons one of our PETA, they can kiss my Texas A asterisk shirts. I know that he'd like that after all of his dealings with PETA. Anyway, our next guest is a lifelong quail hunter who had a passion to ensure the bobwhite quail lives on for future generations of hunters here in Texas. And so he sought out to form an organization that would seek to accomplish that goal. And so here in studio this morning, it's my pleasure to welcome Quail Tech Alliance founder and chairman Charles Hodges to the show.
Thank you very much, Cable. It's my pleasure. It's always a pleasure to talk about quail and the Quail Tech Alliance.
Glad to have you. Glad to have you. Our mutual friend Bill Miller over at Lone Star Outdoor News, he mentioned to me about the Quail Tech Alliance and what you guys were doing. So naturally, I looked you up and decided we needed to have you on the show. So just for a little background information, why don't you tell our listeners
exactly how the Quail Tech Alliance came about.
Certainly. In early 2008, it was evident to several people that I know that there wasn't enough being done in the Rolling Plains to do a broad program to benefit quail, and we felt like there needed to be a much broader sampling and a much broader research program. So we approached Texas Tech University, who is sitting in the center of the last wild quail population in the United States, and asked them to really get behind a research program and to formulate that. And we had some pretty big ideas, and Texas Tech stepped up, and certainly Dr. Brad Dabbert, who we had really looked around the state and tried to find the what we felt like was the rising star in quail research. And Dr. Brad Dabbert is the head of our program and has done a fabulous job.
Right.
The Alliance spans 38 counties. We felt like you needed a very broad spectrum as far as the sampling. And so our initial battle plan included 38 counties that reach from Potter County, west of Amarillo, all the way to Archer County, down to Palo Pinto County, and over to Nolan County, the Sweetwater area, back up to Lubbock. So it's a very broad area, 22 million acres, 10 times the size of Yellowstone National Park.
Okay, so founded in 2008, and the obvious question is obviously money. Who funds this? Is it Texas Tech or private donors?
No, actually, each of our anchor ranches, this is an anchor ranch program, and our idea was that if we could establish an anchor ranch in each of our 38 counties, they would become the research center for that county for quail research, and then each of those ranches would tend to then talk to their neighbors, talk to their Texas Parks and Wildlife biologists, and really show everybody what the benefits of the program are, and we could then spread within each county. Mm-hmm. The anchor ranches themselves pay a fee of $3,500 a year, and Quail Tech comes to the ranch, does all of the counts, both in the spring and the fall. We do trapping every fall. We do screening for disease, and that was what enabled us to find the West Nile virus up in the panhandle. The first time ever a wild bird population has been discovered with West Nile virus.
Wow. Okay. So what about these anchor ranches? If they choose to hunt, can they actually harvest quail?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, all the ranches that are enrolled have quail hunting actively. And we really feel strongly that the fact that there are hunters participating along with landowners, we think that's the true benefit of our program, because they become amateur wildlife biologists and the hunters are right there with us. And we ask that the hunters turn in wing samples so that we can look at the recruitment of young. And that's the percentage of young that we have surviving into the population every year. So our hunters are an active part of our program.
Perfect. So the ranches are actually not only involved with the conservation and restoration, but they're also hunters just like you and I. Now, Charles, the 2011-2012 Texas quail season, the outlook's pretty bleak.
Devastating is a great word. Our sampling across the 38 county area really shows that in all but a few counties, we're looking at populations that are less than they have been in the past several years. And last year was a tremendous rain year. We just did not have the population increase that we hoped for. And then when the brutality of the temperatures and the droughts really came to the front this year, it was devastating on the quail population. And we have ranches that we're conducting research on right now where we were tracking certain broods, and we had 136 chicks that we tracked at hatch, and only 18 of those chicks made it to 12 days of age because of the brutal temperatures and the drought conditions.
Wow, that is not a very encouraging survival rate.
It's really not, and unfortunately, that was pretty much the case across the entire 38 county area. The secondary effect that we had from this year was the fact that there were no bugs. There were simply no bug populations for those young chicks to survive on until they could get up to the age where they could forage and take advantage of the native seeds. And then, of course, the seed production was also stunted this year. So it was just really a perfect storm for a devastation to our quail population.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's unfortunate. And that brings us to the topic at hand, Charles. You recently put pen to paper and composed a letter that every Texas quail hunter should read. It has to do with philosophy for the 2011-2012 season, and I want to make sure we have a lot of time to get into that. So let's squeeze in a quick commercial break here. Are you okay to stick around for another segment?
Absolutely. Be happy to.
Awesome. Well, we'll be right back with more from Charles Hodges, founder and chairman of the Quail Tech Alliance, and we'll continue with our Bob White Quail Talk after these messages. You're listening to the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show. Listen up, fellas. Rainbow Supply and Guns is where you need to go before hunting season. Family-owned and operated for over 25 years, Rainbow Supply makes and repairs jewelry, specializing in coins, gold, and silver. They'll even trade jewelry for guns. There's no better way to stack up kitchen passes for this hunting season than by surprising the missus with some new bling. Located at 2109 San Pedro in San Antonio, stop by and tell them you heard this ad, and they'll change out your watch battery for free while you check out over 700 pistols and rifles they have in stock. You can also visit them online at rainbowsupply.com or call 210-733-1772. Listen up, ticket heads. When you harvest that wall-worthy trophy, there's only one choice: Rustic Reminders Taxidermy. My friends Josh and Becky have over 19 years combined experience in taxidermy and reproduction mounts. Whether you take down a 200-class whitetail, an African rhino, or a trophy largemouth, Rustic Reminders does it all, producing top-quality mounts while maintaining focus on quick turnaround time. Located between San Antonio and New Braunfels, call Rustic Reminders at 210-317-7292 or visit www.gr8mounts.com. That's gr8mounts.com.
Located on 12,500 acres in South Texas's Sutton County, McPherson 4M Ranch is a one-of-a-kind operation. Owner and operator Sandy McPherson takes pride in running a family-owned and operated ranch that caters towards each hunter's needs. Trophy whitetails roam the ranch's beautiful hill country terrain, and axis, fallow, and black buck hunts are also available. Outstanding lodging and accommodations are also part of the experience at McPherson 4M Ranch. Call 210-822-2915. That's 210-822-2915, or visit McPherson4MRanch.com today.
Cable Smith here with my good buddy Craig Smith, owner and founder of Game Guard. And Craig, I guess the question everybody wants to know is, what inspired you to create that signature Game Guard camouflage pattern?
I had a friend of mine that challenged me to come up with a better pattern. I didn't like the patterns that fit, you know, Southwest Texas. So he said, you know, if you don't like it, do something about it. And that's really kind of where it started. I really wanted to get the colors correct, because to me it's all about, you know, blending in and having the right tones at that time of the year. And so I just sat down and started drawing this pattern out, and it took me about a year to get it the way I wanted it and get the colors the way I wanted it. And, you know, the rest is kind of history, as they say.
Hey, Craig, we appreciate it. Made by the Texas Deer Hunter for the Texas Deer Hunter. Be sure to check out their full line of outdoor apparel at GameGuard.net.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Dance, and you're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
You could hardly carry that 12-gauge shotgun, but with time you grew tall and strong, and not a better shot have I seen. I won't forget the memories when the dove flew steady and the ducks came down like a painter's vision from the cold gray clouds. We crossed all the fences, and those days no one cared.
One of my favorites there from Justin Bowerman, Boy and His Dog is the name of that one. I'm Cable Smith, welcoming y'all back to the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show, powered by Hoff Power Polaris. And what a morning it is, too. Regular gun season for whitetail, ducks, and geese. They all open up today. And quail opened up last week, and that's what we're discussing this morning. We'll jump back into that here in a second. But first, I want to tell you about Texas premier seed company, Sendero Seed, has everything you need to manage your wildlife, including the acclaimed Buck Forage Blend. Call Rob Hughes at 210-286-9081 to get the ball rolling on your order today. Well, without further delay, let's pick it back up with Quail Tech Alliance Chairman and Founder Charles Hodges, who was nice enough to stick around through the break. Charles, as we mentioned, the 2011-2012 season is a critical one for our remaining bobwhite population. The drought and poor nesting conditions, lack of food, all that meant that the mortality rate of last year's chicks was through the roof. And that led you to pen an urgent letter to all Texas quail hunters, you know, asking them to adopt a different approach this season. And I'm going to let you tell us all about the importance of catch-and-release quail hunting in 2011-2012.
Well, that was really just an expression to talk about pointing and flushing the birds, and instead of shooting, counting this year, and having extra time to take great pictures of your dogs. And as you know, as a dog man, you know, our dogs last far too short of a time period for us. They should live the same lives that we do. But catch and release is really something that I like to fly fish. And, you know, the catch and release makes you feel really good when you catch a great trout and you're able to turn him back for someone else to enjoy. I think in this case, we really feel like we are carrying such a precious few breeding birds into next year's spring breeding season, that every one of those birds is so vital, and think of every bird as a potential covey next year. And you know, the farmers don't feed up all of their seed wheat and have nothing to plant the next year, and we really need to think about that in the quail business this year.
Well, Charles, I think it's a great philosophy. I pledge not to shoot a single quail this season. I encourage every serious quail hunter out there to do the same thing. Every outdoorsman, really. It's our responsibility to do everything we can to ensure that this quail population lives on. Now, you mentioned off the air that you're trying to get Texas Parks and Wildlife involved with changing a few things. I don't know, maybe the season's too long, maybe the bag limit's too high. What are your thoughts?
Well, when we find that, you know, we're hunting a third of the year, that's an awfully long season. And, of course, in most places, a lot of people wait for the rattlesnakes to be down, so a lot of guys don't start until late November after the Thanksgiving holiday or during that weekend. But 4 months is a long time to hammer those coveys. And this year, we felt like somebody had to stand up and write a letter to Parks and Wildlife and to the Quail Roundtable, and to try to encourage everyone to be very conservative this year. We don't want anybody not to go out. We're, you know, get your dogs out there, get in the field, get the birds pointed, but more importantly, count those birds. And instead of hunting them down and you know, shooting singles and all of that this year, if you need to shoot a bird for a young pup, well, certainly that's a necessary part of the sport and the training of your dogs. But this is a special year, and these are extraordinary times, and they require extraordinary measures.
Watching the dogs work is the best part about it, in my opinion. Shooting a quail is really secondary. Charles, long-term, do you think that the catch-and-release philosophy is something we'll need to implement for more than one season?
Well, it totally depends on the overall situation in each area. The great part about our program is we're doing surveillance across, you know, 22 million acres, a very broad area, and we have enrolled in our program 1.7 million acres. Mm-hmm. My goal was 10% of that entire area being an active quail research and conservation program. And we're already at 1.7 million acres, so we're getting up there. But the beauty of that is a report from the Panhandle will be different than a report from Archer County and a report from Coleman, Texas. Those are all going to be microclimates that got different amounts of rain, different amounts of snow events or hard weather events, you know, serious freezes. So I think it allows us to make recommendations really almost county by county within our program, versus the state, who is really charged with doing a much broader area. And one recipe doesn't necessarily fit every ranch. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's incumbent upon everybody to look at their local conditions. And we hope we don't have another year like this. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's been the most devastating in history from a standpoint of heat. And I think that given adequate rainfall and given sensitivity to what's going on with the birds, I think that the serious quail guys know that we probably won't have to do it. If we take care of the birds this year and get decent rains and good seed crops and maintain good habitat, this is an extraordinary measure that we should only have to take in very few instances.
Well, Charles, like I said, I totally agree. I think this is a great philosophy. But to be fair, I have to bring up the point that, you know, I'm 30. I missed the Bob White heydays here in Texas. And it seems like over the past decade or so, unfortunately, quail hunting has become almost a rich man's sport. So, you know, that's unfortunate, but I guess the main thing is for the people that do have the land and the quail, they've got to protect it so that maybe someday quail hunting will get back to the way it used to be.
Sure. Well, there are certain wildlife management areas that are public hunting around the state, and those areas are well managed. But you're right. I think that private ranches and private land ownership has really changed the whole paradigm of land value. And now it's more recreational and hunting from a determination of value than really it is from an agricultural standpoint. But don't give up on the thought that that's your last wild quail hunt in Texas, because I believe, as I said, if we can put 1.7 million acres into active quail management, I think you're going to have the opportunity, and I hope your grandson has the opportunity to hunt wild quail in Texas.
Well, the whole Bob White situation here in Texas speaks volumes about us as hunters. I mean, the antis think that we're just out there trying to kill everything that walks, but the reality is we're the biggest conservationists there are, trying to decrease the bag limit, shorten the season, adopt a catch-and-release policy this year. It's just another example as to who is really trying to protect our wildlife.
You will find that the more serious a quail hunter is, probably the smaller bag limit he would support. He's not there as a meat hunter. Mm-hmm. He's not trying to fill an ice chest. He's trying to see beautiful dog work, enjoy the outdoors, and you know, the how much meat goes in the freezer is the farthest thing from his mind. Mm-hmm. And the more serious he is, the more that's true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, unfortunately, well, I don't know how old you are, but I'm 30.
60.
Okay, so you've got 30 years on me, and you've seen a lot of good quail hunting in your lifetime. But what is it? You know, I mean, we used to have huntable quail populations here in North Texas, out at Ray Roberts in Crum, Texas, everywhere. There was quail.
Right.
There were even significant numbers of quail in East Texas 30 years ago. But it seems like it's been an east to west thing, phenomenon, as far as the population decline goes. What do you think is the main reason for that?
Well, that's true, but, you know, I think that we've just returned. Dr. Dabber and I came back from Florida and visited Tall Timbers Research Station down there to see some of the techniques that they're doing down there to restore the wild bird populations, and I think they're doing great work. I think that what we've seen, though, are trends that, you're right, move from east to west, and there have been a lot of things that have done that same travel, and the wild hog population has traveled from east to west. Mm-hmm. So we've looked at that, and of course that's how we discovered the tularemia, which is another problem that we're really just now getting our hands around, because that's a very serious disease. And we actually found in one county 50% of the trap population that we sampled had active tularemia. And we were looking for brucellosis, so we weren't even looking for tularemia. And that's called rabbit fever, and it spreads to pheasants and quail. So there's one that has traveled east to west. You've also seen the chemical applications for coastal Bermuda and other types of improved grasses travel from east to west, particularly in Texas. And so has that had something to do with the population? Well, that's one of the things we're looking at, because we want to know, when you fly overhead and spray every blade of grass and every piece of brush, what real effect that has on the quail population. Because hard for me to think that that doesn't leave some residual chemicals. But we're looking at that now and hope to work closely with the chemical manufacturers to make sure that's not happening.
Right. As far as predation goes, I mean, you know, obviously there are more raccoons, skunks, foxes, bobcats, like you mentioned, hogs. Which one of those do you think is really the biggest problem for quail?
I think hogs are a pretty good nest predator. Obviously, they're not going to catch the live birds very often, but I'd love to see it. You know, we find that coyotes are really pretty poor quail hunters, and a lot of people have always thought that, that coyotes were an issue. I think bobcats are probably really good quail hunters. Mm-hmm. I think Cooper's hawks are probably the number one.
Really?
But for our best practices for all of our anchor ranches, we really focus on eliminating nest predators. So mm-hmm. when you're talking about nest predators, you're talking about hogs and coons and skunks and a lot of the mammals that really make that their breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And so we really encourage predator control on all our ranches, because if you eliminate a predator event at the nest, you're saving 20 birds, 20 mm-hmm. eggs. Mm-hmm. If you eliminate a predator event as an adult, they're probably catching one bird. Mm-hmm. So we've started trying to do nest predators first in our control programs and our best practices.
Well, I think that's a great philosophy. You know, a lot of people balk at the idea of removing one animal to protect another. But I'm very involved with Delta Waterfowl, and they had, you know, adhere to the same philosophy up in the duck factory in the northern United States and Canada, and I'm all for it.
Sure. And, you know, since the fur trade, you know, and those prices fell, well, of course, no one's trapping anymore. And I know we've seen the populations on our ranch just shoot up. And we really thought that we didn't have that big of a predator problem based on some dummy nest studies that we did on the ranch. But quite honestly, we put traps out. I think I set 7 traps and we caught 18 skunks in 3 days. Mm. And then we reset with a different bait and caught 20 coons in 2 days. Mm. We knew then that we had more of a predator problem than we had ever imagined.
Man, so many things have changed over the past few decades that have not gone in the quail's favor. I mean, you don't even really think about the fact that there's not really a fur trade out there anymore and how that's negatively impacting their numbers. The website for everybody, y'all need to check it out, is quail-tech.org. Also, you guys put out a great newsletter. How often does that come out, by the way?
We go 4 times a year on our newsletters, and we publish e-bulletins on a whenever-needed basis. So, for instance, the aflatoxin e-bulletin that we published last year, we try to get the information out as fast as we have a discovery in the field. Mm-hmm. And our information initially, if we discover a disease on a ranch, such as we did up in the Panhandle, we report that to the rancher. The rancher makes the decisions on the outlets and how he wants to release that information. And we have a very strong covenant with our anchor ranches, because most of these ranches wouldn't let a stranger on mm-hmm. 5 years ago. And they held a lot of respect for the wildlife department at Texas Tech. And so we feel very privileged to be allowed to be on there doing the research for them. And that information belongs to those ranchers.
Okay, so if somebody wants to start getting the newsletter and the e-bulletins, they can find that information on the website?
Go to the website and you'll find 2 email addresses, one for Dr. Brad Dabbert at Texas Tech and one for myself. And get an email to either one of us and we'll make sure that everybody's included on the list, because it's information that needs to be out there.
Perfect. Well, Charles, it's been a real treat visiting with you today. Thank you so much for all that y'all are doing at the Quail Tech Alliance. Great organization. I appreciate your time this morning, and I look forward to touching base with you in the future.
It's my pleasure. Thank you, Cable.
Well, there he goes, Charles Hodges of the Quail Tech Alliance. Y'all be sure to check it out, quail-tech.org. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Keith McDonald. He's the co-chair of the Ducks Unlimited Dallas chapter. Their banquet is coming up November 16th. It's going to be amazing, and we're going to give away 2 tickets to the banquet coming up here in just a second, only on the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoors Show.
Well, he packed up a suitcase because the deal gone down. She was slipping on her stockings, Lord, it made a sweetest sound.
Alamo Cycleplex didn't become South Texas' number one volume dealer overnight. We did it by providing the best deals and awesome customer service for over 40 years. We carry Honda, Polaris, Suzuki, Kawasaki, and Yamaha, including units for both street and dirt. And of course, Polaris Rangers, Razors, and ATVs. No matter what you're looking for, Alamo Cycleplex will accommodate you. We even have the bad-to-the-bone Polaris Ranger crew on sale today. Call 210-696-2000 or visit us at alamocycleplex.com.
As hunters, it's our duty to be good stewards to our wildlife. Providing a reliable, consistent water source is a big part of that, and Oasis Wildlife Watering System's portable yet rugged polyethylene design is simply the best way to accomplish that goal. Water sources reduce animals' range, thus increasing harvest opportunity. Oasis conditions deer to recognize the unit as a watering source and allows you to move them around your property. You can also add mineral supplements or medicine to the water. The 5,500 or 200-gallon Oasis vacuum units have no moving parts. Check them out at oasiswildlife.com or call 409-753-2295 today.
Captain Len here with your coastal report from Laguna Madre, where it's cool on the water and the fishing is hot. Matter of fact, the redfish have shown up in large numbers. The trout are starting the September spawn with black drum and flounder in the mix. We have averaged 50 to 80 pounds, depending on how many people are fishing. And also, we have a no fish, no pay policy. In fact, if you don't catch any fish, you can have my boat.
Cable Smith here, and I've fished with Captain Lynn. And he's not kidding. If you don't catch any fish, you can have his boat. Call Captain Lynn at 361-563-9806 or check him out online at CaptainLynnsFishing.com. Cable Smith here for Magnolite, a Texas-based lighting company that's been outfitting the United States military since the 1960s. Over the past decade, Magnolite has continued to support our troops, but now they have over 200 lights ideal for your hunting and fishing needs, like the 35-watt HID camouflage Go Light Striker with handheld remote. That's 15 million candle power in the palm of your hand, ideal for predator and hog hunting. They also have remote-controlled floodlights, feeder lights, and LED boat lights. So go Texan and go Magnolite. Check them out at www.magnolite.com for all your outdoor lighting needs.
There were people drinking whiskey, their hearts about to leave. It was cold as hell for Houston, it was almost near sea. All the way from Beaumont, with a white rose in my hand. I could not wait forever, babe, I hope you understand.
All right, a little Hayes Carl bringing us back from break here on the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show, powered by Hoff Power Polaris. I'm Cable Smith. This segment of the show proudly brought to you by Rudy's Barbecue. Stop in for breakfast, lunch, or dinner at one of their four convenient Metroplex locations, including the new one in front of the Cabela's in Allen. Rudy's True Texas-Style Barbecue. One quick reminder here, y'all be sure to go to our Southern Deer Stands Deer Blind Contest homepage. We've got three great prize packages. We did this contest last year. All we want you to do is send in a photo of your deer blind for the 2011-2012 season. Include a little write-up about what made this deer blind special. Maybe, I don't know, you built it with your son or daughter. Anyway, just email it to me at cablewaco@yahoo.com for your chance to win one of our three grand prize packages. Moving along here, it's time to talk about an event that I am really excited about. It's the Ducks Unlimited Dallas Chapter Annual Banquet. It's coming up on November 16th, and joining us today to tell us all about it is the co-chairman of that chapter, Keith McDonald. Welcome to the show, man.
I appreciate you, you having us on.
Well, I am thrilled to be involved with the Dallas Chapter of DU, and I'm going to let you tell us all about the banquet coming up on November 16th.
Yes, it's November 16th. It's at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Addison, and that's a Wednesday night from 5:30 till about 10 o'clock. And we're really excited about this year's banquet. We've got some outstanding trips. We've got a four-day, two-man dove hunt in Cordoba, Argentina with the David Denny's wing shooting outfitters, and they put on a absolutely world-class shoot. We've got a really cool hunt with Rangers first baseman Mitch Moreland with Silver Creek Guide Services.
You bet, and I'll actually be on that hunt as well.
Oh, you'll be on that one.
Yeah.
All right, that's awesome. One thing we're having this year, which I'm really excited about, is Jack Daniels and Matt Appleby and Brown Foreman have become one of our main sponsors this year. And they're flying in Jeff Norman from Lynchburg, Tennessee. He's going to be putting on a kind of how whiskey is made walk through at the event, and then later on in the live auction, they will be auctioning off a barrel of whiskey for someone to go up to hand pick in Lynchburg, Tennessee.
Oh, wow. What a cool item.
Yes. So that's just some of the things. A couple of them real quick. We're going to have over 30 guns, several different packages like the duck package, bow hunter. We're adding a hog varmint package this year, which will either have an AR-15 or AK-47 in it. So as you can see, we're just loaded up with items for people just to come out and support the ducks and have a great time.
Well, I know that we're going to build on last year's success, and last year's motto was a cool one, as the Dallas chapter was saying, we're back.
Yes, and you know, we used the word we're back, and that's exactly what we used last year to as a kind of a we're back. 2009, I think the dinner had about 185 people in it, and it had bounced around from different locations over the past 3 or 4 years, and the revenues, net revenues, actually were under 20 grand. Last year, we decided we made some contacts with some of the old committee members, talked to some of the people who went to the events in the early 2000s, and we went from 185 people to 540 and raised $117,000 last year.
Oh, man, it was a truly awesome event, and this year's only going to be, you know, that much better.
Bigger and better. We've got a stronger committee base this year. We've got better auction items. We've got the same location. The Crown Plaza has worked with us outstandingly in meeting all of our requirements to make the dinner a success there. We're shooting for 140, 150 this year.
Well, I know that there are some tickets still available, both singles and couples tickets.
The tickets are available at DallasDucks.org. And they are $100 if you buy them on the site. I believe that they're $125 if you purchase them the night of the event.
Mm-hmm.
And there's PayPal on there in various different ways that you can purchase. And also, if you were buying a table, I think a table is $1,000. And there are also varying different degrees of sponsorships that are available as well.
And a ticket, of course, includes your dinner, 3-course meal, all your drinks, and a year membership to Ducks Unlimited as well.
That you are correct about that.
Right on.
Okay. I wanted to I like technology and how it can affect things in the field. There's a great app for Android and for the iPhone that is located at ducks.org/migration map. And it's from the field, real-time reporting of what people are seeing in the field, lists location, temperature, wind, and a comment section by the person who's out in the field. I was looking at it this morning, and there were updates in there from this morning and over the last couple of days. So it's pretty cool stuff if you're out in the field and I want to know what's going on north of you.
Very cool. I used to check it all the time on the computer, but that's pretty handy that you can get it on your cell phone now.
The app has gotten more and more advanced, and more people have been using it, so pretty cool. Last thing, Colette Craft works with our Green Wing organization, which is an event for kids, and she's got an event planned in mid-December, and it's focusing on the construction of wood duck boxes for the spring nesting wood duck season at the John Barker Sands Wetland Center.
That's what it's all about, getting the youngsters involved.
We sure appreciate your time, and we look forward to seeing everybody out on November 16th. Go to DallasDucks.org for more information.
I'm looking forward to it, buddy. And, hey, if y'all don't live in Dallas, you know our show airs in 9 cities across the state. There is a chapter, I guarantee you, in every one of those areas. Ducks Unlimited has over 20,000 chapters across the United States. Get involved, because it feels good knowing that you're making a difference and you're ensuring full skies for future generations.
Yes, sir.
Keith, it's been a pleasure.
I appreciate your time, sir.
Wow, look at the time. We have got to get out of here. Real quick, though, I want to give away those 2 tickets to that November 16th event. First person to text in the current CEO of Ducks Unlimited to 214-289-7807. They'll win this couple's ticket worth $200. Once again, the number is 214-289-7807, and I'll give you 2 tickets to my table at the banquet. Thanks to our other guests, Bob Parsons and, of course, Charles Hodges of the Quail Tech Alliance. Next week, we'll shift gears and get back into a little fishing talk as it's share lunker season and the big girls are getting hungry. Thanks to all of our sponsors for making this show possible. Thanks to you, the listener, for being a part of the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoors Show. Happy hunting, y'all. Until next time, I'm Cable Smith saying have a great week in the outdoors.
Galveston, oh Galveston, I still hear your sea winds blowing. I still see her dark eyes glowing. She was 21 when I left Galveston.